Our first reading is Revelation chapter 1, reading from verse 4 to verse 8. It's on page 1233 of the Church Bibles. Revelation chapter 1, beginning at verse 4. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven, and if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to you, O Lord. we declare our faith in the risen Christ. In the words of the Creed on page 253, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Today's gospel includes the story of Doubting Thomas, but I'm going to pass over that this time and concentrate on the two short paragraphs before that. This is John's account of what happened on the evening of the first Easter day. But it's not just a journalist's eyewitness account of what actually happened. John is probably writing many years after the events and is trying to explain the deeper meaning of what happened. So it's the evening of the day. The disciples have been to the tomb and seen that the body is no longer there. The disciples don't fully understand what's happened, and they're terrified that the Jewish leaders are going to come and arrest them. So they're in hiding and the doors are locked. Then suddenly, the risen Jesus appears among them, greeting them with the words, "Peace be with you." But this time, it's not just the ordinary, everyday Hebrew greeting of shalom. This time, it has much deeper meaning, because Jesus is saying to his disciples that his death was not the terrible disaster that they thought it was, and they don't need to be afraid any longer. Do you know those wonderful words of Julian of Norwich? All will be well, and all manner of things shall be well. This is the kind of reassurance that Jesus is giving them in his greeting. Then we are told that he showed them his hands and his side. He still has the marks left by the excruciating pain of crucifixion. He hasn't easily got over the pain, the suffering, the agony. It has left a permanent impression on him, which enables him to share the pain of all human beings who suffer. He showed them his hands and his side. The disciples are naturally overjoyed when they see the risen Christ. But what happens next? Jesus goes on to say, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." That is to say, just as God the Father has sent me into the world for a purpose to achieve something, so I am sending you. In other words, Jesus has been sent into the world to reveal the heart and the mind of God to the human race and to reconcile rebellious human beings to God. And the disciples are now being commissioned to continue that work of reconciliation and to bring the good news of what God has done to all peoples of the world. That must mean that if you and I believe in the resurrection, if we have in any way met with the risen Christ, you and I are being sent into the world to share this good news with others. And our being sent into the world is a continuation of the process of Jesus being sent into the world. So these simple words, "as the Father has sent me, I am sending you," take us right to the heart of the idea of mission, God's mission to the world, which is all about the Father sending Jesus into the world, and then Jesus sending his followers into the world. What comes next needs some explaining, verses 22 and 23. "And with that he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.'" I personally don't think this means that the disciples received the Holy Spirit at that particular moment, because according to the Acts of the Apostles, the Holy Spirit didn't come to the disciples until the day of Pentecost, 50 days later. When it says Jesus breathed on them, there's a deliberate echo of the creation story in the book of Genesis, where it says, "The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." There's probably also an echo of Ezekiel's vision. Ezekiel is speaking to the children of Israel who are in exile in Babylon, and the whole nation feels completely destroyed and finished. And this exile is symbolized by these dry bones that are lying in the desert. And Ezekiel the prophet is told to breathe on the bones so that they come together, the bones come together and form a living body. So it's a picture of the people of Israel returning from exile and being brought back to life. So Jesus, by breathing on them, is acting out in a very physical way the meaning of what was going to happen at Pentecost 50 days later, that the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, was going to come and live in the disciples in a new way. When Jesus says, "Whoever's sins you forgive, they are forgiven," and so on, I don't think this has anything to do with sacramental confession and priestly absolution. This is probably John's way of describing what Luke says in a much more straightforward way. In one of the resurrection appearances, we are told, "Then Jesus opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He said to them, 'This is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem.'" So this is John's way of describing Jesus commissioning his disciples to take the good news. Does this sound complicated theology? At its simplest, Jesus is saying to us that the message of Easter doesn't stop with us. It's not just a message to us that Jesus has broken the power of death and reconciled us to God. This is a message for the world, for anyone who is open to hear it and receive it. The risen Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you."